I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To talk the Red Hot Guardians. In spite of last night's loss, we head out to the fan hotline and welcome on of Guardians TV, Al Pawlowski. Al Pal, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, guys. And I want to tell you, I really enjoyed the relationship segment previously. I was listening with Travis and Taylor, you guys are fantastic. That's the next podcast for you two.
We've pitched it, and unfortunately, no one will return our call, Al.
Oh, I would listen. I'm just telling you, I would listen to that if you guys did it.
I think you might be the only one. Al, looking to where the Gardos are here tonight. I mean, like last night, like when you have a moment like Gavin had, it can be tough not to go, oh, well, that was the one after he threw a lot of pitches the week before. Is it too much to try and put together the almost no-hitter and throw in 120-plus pitches and then how he pitched last night?
Something that's interesting about baseball, and I thought about this last night, that goes right into what you're talking about here. Whenever a pitcher comes off throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game or a near-no-hitter, and I don't know why this is, but generally the next outing they get hit. And I can't figure it out. I mean, I remember all the way back to, I was barely alive. But in 1981, when Len Barker threw the perfect game, he lost his next outing. And I think it was against the Blue Jays, as a matter of fact. But he lost his next time out. So I think it's just one of those things with baseball. I don't know if you get so close. And, there's a lot of emotions that go into it. Throwing a no-hitter is something that some of the greatest pitchers ever never accomplished. You may never be that close again. So I think there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. And then when you don't get it and you get that close, it might just take something mentally to come back to, all right, got to start at square one here again. And maybe that's part of it. So I think it's one of those things. I don't think that, it was a pitch count thing, but who knows? We'll see his next time out. If Gavin's back to being Gavin, then it's just the post almost no hitter blip.
Yeah, I like Vogt's message after the game, though. He was just basically, he almost did it like in football terms, where it's much harder to erase in football what you saw on Sunday. But in baseball, you got another game, you got to get right back up there. And the idea that you could just kind of toss what happened last night aside and get right back up on that horse.
Yeah, that's exactly what they have to do, too, because they have to win this series to stay in this wild card race and to still have an outside shot at catching Detroit after they made up all that ground on the Tigers. But you've got to win now because you're starting not necessarily to run out of games, but you don't have 80 games left. You don't have 70 games left. You got about 44, 45 games left here. It becomes more and more difficult if you lose games to teams that are out of it, like the Marlins, to make those up later on. So, yeah, they've got to put it behind them. I think they can. They've been playing some really good baseball this last month plus. And if they can continue to play this way and have that same mindset, they should be in pretty good shape.
Al, we've run out of superlatives once again for the greatness of Jose Ramirez, almost batting 300, on his way to at least a 30-30 season, if not. And it's not crazy to think that when he almost went 40 for 40 last year, he could end up having a higher WAR this year with some 40-plus games to go. Just in terms of what Hosey's doing this year, where does this rank amongst his many 5, 6, 7 WAR seasons in his career?
I would say that, you know, we've seen Jose as good of a player this year, all-around player, as he's ever been. That's something that, you know, he's always been a good all-around player, and he's done it for so long. But this year, there's been some times where he's gotten hot, and it's like, look out. You know, the other team doesn't want to pitch to him. I don't blame them. I wouldn't pitch to him if I was on the mound. He's getting so many intentional walks in so many different situations, just not wanting to deal with him at all. So this season, you know, quite simply, if he's not doing what he's doing, then the Guardians they would be nowhere near a playoff opportunity without him. He brings so much danger to a lineup for the opposing pitchers. Everything starts with him, and you've got to focus on him and how you're going to work to him and how you work the guys around him. So that tells you what he's been able to do this season. And it's a season where if you look around in the lineup, I mean, outside of Stephen Kwan, he hasn't had a whole lot of consistency around him. Kyle Manzardo lately, you know, absolutely. C.J. Cephas has shown some promise. We've seen Daniel Schneeman come alive again. But for the most part, this lineup has been powered by Jose Ramirez, and he's been able to carry this team to an above 500 mark and a shot at October.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Kwan. It's the third straight year now out of the All-Star break where it seems like he's just it's just not the same self that what you saw in the first half. Now, last night he did homer, so maybe he's going to start to trend in the right direction. But why is it you feel like that it seems like Kwan is much better in the first half than the second half?
Well, he's got that wrist thing going on, and he's never going to use that as an excuse or for blame. But, you know, he's not 100%. I know that. And he's still going out there and still, for the most part, being very, very good at what he does. So I think that's part of it. The other part of it is, too, that's the one other guy that if you're an opposing team, an opposing pitcher, that's the other guy that can hurt you. He doesn't have the power Jose Ramirez has. It's developing. It's getting better. You make a mistake middle in with the fastball like was made to him last night, he will hit it out of the park. But that's the other guy you've got to focus on a lot. And that's another thing that goes back to Jose Ramirez, why he's so good. I mean, here's a guy, again, with Jose, they spend so much time figuring out how to pitch to him, and he still gets his production. Kwan's getting a lot of that, too. So it's just more difficult to hit consistently when all the focus from the other side is on you. Now, I understand Jose gets all the focus here, but Stephen Kwan is right behind him. Those two guys are the ones that are the most talked about when they talk about a series in that pitching room.
Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV on the Fan Hotline, breaking down the latest for the Guardians, going for the series win against the Miami Marlins tonight. Braves next up here in Cleveland as well. You mentioned Manzardo. We're, I think, 21-22 home runs. And I know fans have talked a lot about just the blanket idea of him not playing every day yet. Just to kind of dig a bit deeper, because his offensive numbers are better than I realize when you dig deeper, but the defensive numbers, the defensive metrics are really not great. How much of him playing every day is about what he does consistently offensively, and maybe just the defense isn't there yet?
Yeah, it's not. You're right, to be fair. And his offense, especially, again, it's coincided with this run for Cleveland where they're 22-9, I believe, now in their last 31 games. If you look at his last 31 games, I mean, he's done really well. It's the best he's ever done in his career. So as good as he's been offensively, he is still very much a work in progress defensively. Some guys just, you know, like some guys are gold glovers that can't figure it out on the plate. You see a lot less of those in today's game than you used to see in the past. But, you know, back in the day, you know, Mark Belanger with the Baltimore Orioles never really could hit, but boy, he was a fantastic shortstop. Ozzie Smith was a wizard with the glove. Couldn't figure it out necessarily with the bat most of the time. Sometimes there's guys that can hit and just can't figure it out with the glove. It's not for lack of effort or trying. They just don't have the tool set that allows them to be a good defender. And that might be your situation with Manzardo. I think ultimately he's going to be mostly a designated hitter as his career goes on. I know he's put time into it. I know he's going to continue to put time into it. It would be great if he could at least become an average first baseman so you would feel more comfortable putting him out there more. But, you know, as much stress that has been put on offense and hitting in the game of baseball, and it seems as the decades go on, it's really focused there more than defense. Defense is still a part of the game, and if you can't play a position well defensively, yeah, that's going to hurt you a little bit. And sometimes, you know, pitchers want the best defense out there too, especially late in games and close games. You want guys out there that you feel confident. If you make a pitch to get weak contact, the play is going to be made behind you. That plays into it as well. So I think you're onto something with the defense. Again, he's still got a chance to become a better defender than what he is, but it's going to continue to take work from him.
The longest deficit to go ahead and end up winning a division, I looked it up just the other day, it was 1978. It was the Yankees coming back in the AL East, and they took over 14 games from the Red Sox. It'd be 15 and a half for the Guardians. This would be legitimately history, but do you feel like the Guardians are able to capture Detroit?
At this point, they have a much better chance than how I felt about that, say, a month or 2 months ago, just because of the way the season was going and the way they were going. And back then when we talked, and you know, I did some other interviews, and people asked the same question, you know, do they have any chance at all at October 1st? And I said, yes, they do. The wild card is within reach. But, you know, you've got to win a lot now. You don't have a lot more losing to do and have a lot of cushion. And could they catch the Tigers in the Central? And I said, it's almost impossible. But it's baseball. It's a long season. It could happen. Well, now that you've gotten it to within that 5-6 game mark, and that's where it's been for the past week or so, you see how difficult it really is to make up games in baseball, especially the later the season goes on. The fact that they made up, you know, almost 10 games is an anomaly. It just, in that short of time, it just almost never happens. So it did, but the problem is now you still have another 5 or 6 to go. And then if you're back to looking at it realistically, you know, should the Tigers win the division? Yes, they should. I mean, I would say they probably have an 80% chance right now, where they had about a 98% chance a couple of months ago or a month ago. So could they do it? Yes. The Tigers are not necessarily playing great baseball. They're not playing as bad as they were a couple, 3 weeks ago. But you need the Tigers again to basically go in the dumper for a little while. You need Cleveland to stay hot. And you need a week where you make up 3 to 4 games. And then with about a month to go, if you've got it down to a couple at the start of September, now you've got yourself a legitimate pennant race.
Al, it's been a tale of two halves of the season for Tanner Bibee as well. He's on the bump against Miami tonight. Is this more than just the ups and downs of pitching? Could there be an injury component? Where's Tanner over the last maybe 6 weeks?
I think that it is more so up and down of a season, and unfortunately for Tanner, he's had a lot of bad luck. And also, unfortunately for Tanner, he's in a situation where, you know, he's had a number of two-strike counts on hitters, and he wasn't able to finish him off sometimes because maybe he and the catcher aren't on the same page. Sometimes he made a good pitch and the guy just hit it. I think it's more that than anything. Watching him closely, he looks fine. His pitches seem to have the same movement on it that he's always had. I think for him, he just needs to get another game or two where things go his way, and then have that confidence and get in that rhythm again. But I think ultimately he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I want to stay with Bibee for a second, because one thing I do think is interesting about him is that at home, which he's tonight, and this is why if I was a betting man on Bibee, I'd be looking pretty good, his numbers at home are really good, Al. Why do you think that is? I know it's an oddity across baseball, and there's just so many different factors that come into play, but at home, he is a different pitcher.
I think there's a comfort level. A lot of guys feel better at home than they feel on the road. There are some guys, strangely enough, that feel more comfortable on the road for whatever reason. And then I think he feels especially comfortable in this ballpark, especially comfortable with his routine here. I think that's a big part of it. The park is a very fair park. Back in the 90s, everybody said, oh, well, it's definitely a hitter's park. Well, back in the 90s, you had a lot of guys doing some things that they cracked down on and not allowing those hitters to do anymore. So you're not having a bunch of guys that are hitting 50 home runs a year or utility infielders that are hitting 15 or 20. So now that things are a little more even, I think you're seeing how fair this park can be. If you make your pitches, if you get guys to hit it to the biggest part of the park, it's tough to hit it out. It's tough to hit it out in center here. It's tough to hit it out up over the wall in left center because you've got that extended fence. So I think that's a big part of it too, just that confidence of being in a park that for the most part you know is going to play pretty fair for you, plays fair for hitters and pitchers, And you're also in a place that, you know, you have had a lot of success. So that plays into it too, because baseball, like every sport, is so much mental. If you feel comfortable when you step on that rubber, you're going to feel a lot better than you would at maybe a Yankee Stadium, for example.
All right, Al, we've put off, you know, buried the lead for long enough here. I know you watched the whole thing. Taylor Swift, New Heights podcast. Thoughts?
So, believe it or not, guys, I didn't watch it at all. However, after listening to you two talk about it, I'm intrigued. I might have to go and see now if she was perhaps berating Travis a little bit. That's what it sounded like, that she was not very kind to him and just treating him as a pretty face and not respecting him for his intelligence. And that could be a problem, guys. I mean, that could be a problem, this relationship. I'm going to have to go back and, and see if I could pick up on something.
I mean, they only got 8.7 million people to listen to it in the first 24 hours. The Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin bump is, I mean, they're going to get to maybe 8.75.
You're welcome,
right?
Travis. You're welcome, Taylor. I know you needed it.
Their success, I think, is owed to us. I think is pretty much what you're pointing at there.
Yeah, absolutely. If I didn't hear you guys talk about it, I would have zero interest. Well, I still, for the most part, have zero interest in that podcast. But after you guys talked about it, now I'm intrigued a little bit to see more so if your analysis is accurate, or maybe you're reading something into it. So I guess I'm more interested, you know, in Jonathan and Nick than I am Travis and Taylor. But maybe I have to listen to those two and Jason to figure out if you guys are on the right track with that. That's where my keen area of interest really is.
I'm not going to send this audio to them with a little bit of a bill for them to go ahead and pay, you know, just to, you know, spread their wealth around.
You should. Yeah.
Al, great stuff, buddy. Thanks, appreciate Al. You.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Al Pawlowski there, Guardians TV on the Fan Hotline. What do you think they'd do? We just sent like a 30-second blurb of audio, and we're like...
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That'll be 5K.
And also attach it with the audio where Al says he has more interest in me and you than Taylor and Travis.
Yep. Your move?
Not many people think that way. What's that?
Your move? Yeah, Kelce, sure. Bros?
Just invoice. Invoice is the way to go these days.
Invoices. You can't turn down an invoice.
You don't even have to do a response.
I certainly don't ignore those monthly from certain bill collectors.
Any sort of reasoning or anything? You just attach the invoice. We're okay.
Great stuff with Al. We'll react to what he had to say, and we'll see. Is it appropriate for I Was Right Radio in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? They're still five games above 500, 6.5 games back in the Central, and one game back in the wild card. Last night was the kind of game that I should, you know, you already know I hate playing the Marlins in August.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we've talked about that.
Put that bleep in June, put that bleep in May. Once you get to within the final 60 games, it should be your divisional opponents. It should be your league opponents, your in-league opponents, not the, and it's even the Braves. Even if the Braves were a great team, I don't care. They're a different division.
And it's actually, I told you, I really like this idea about you. I think it's a good one.
But
I think baseball would be smart to adopt it. They never will.
That only made last night more frustrating. On a game that I hate that you have to play, it was just, it was the comedy of errors type game where, and you knew, like, the second the Marcy kid hit the second home run of the night.
Yeah.
And I think he came into last night hitting below 300. He left hitting like 500.
Did you see he had his whole entire family there?
I did not.
It was a whole section. No, he's from Michigan, and so it was a section in right field, and there had to have been 35 people that were all like they were all his family.
Well, now I hate less.
Just losing his mind with every single at bat because he was just raking.
But and when you already came back, as a matter of fact, I got the text from Mac.
You're like, no, I hate that, Wes.
Well,
I do. It's true. It's true. I feel the same way.
Well, here's the thing: if you get tuned up by Aaron Judge, you're like, well, you're bound to lose games getting tuned up by Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
When you get tuned up by a rookie who wasn't a top 100 prospect, like he's a nice prospect, but he's just kind of a guy. Yeah, it pisses you off really so much worse than when a superstar just tattoos you.
Yes, but in 39 big league at-bats now, he is hitting 436.
Yes, because of last night.
Again, it's been the entire stretch here. He's slugging 872.
He came into the game slugging like 750 or something
his
like that.
His family's got no chance to walk around as if they are basically related to Aaron Judge, but they get to for at least last night and in that moment.
But the fact that you climb back in that after Gavin gave you such a dud of a performance, and Arias comes up with a big hit.
Had the home run in the first inning to as like a response almost, and then you're able to tie it up, and then you get Gavin out of the game, and then you're like, all right, let's settle it down. Because I'd already kind of wiped that one away as a disappointing Guardians game and just kind of chalked it up, and then they rallied back, and then you just watch them implode.
And I can handle Allard struggling or giving up two. I can handle Gavin. Hell, Cesar Hernandez, who you claimed off waivers from, I think, Detroit, like a week ago. Two earned, that's fine. Matt Festa? It's really beginning to festa here with Matt because I'm getting
he's not good at baseball. But it's funny how...
Can someone tell Steven Vogt that?
People are very, very angry every time they see Festa, and rightfully so. But it is interesting how he's become...
Because he's Fat Albers, and you're treating him like Brian Shaw in the damn eighth inning.
I'm with
you. But not good Brian Shaw, the old one.
The Festa thing doesn't make any sense to me. And he continues, and I've stuck up for Vogt in many ways, but they continue to put him in relatively high leverage situations, and it's just confusing. So then for the fan base, you're never like, oh, we see Festa when it's an 8-1 game and we need an innings eater like he should be. You see him in high leverage spots.
I'd like to point out that nobody called me on fat shaming Matt Albers, and you're all the problem. All right?
Well, no, you get to fat shame. I don't get to fat shame.
Well, no.
I can't fat shame.
Okay, I can fat shame. I can fat shame Jelly Roll when he's 500 pounds. When he's 299, I lose the fight. Right?
Wait. So
when my fatness is worse than their fatness, the fat shaming really becomes problematic. Because it's who the hell am I to talk? Who am I to say eat a salad, Matt Albers?
Nice try, Fatty.
I just want to know the rules that we're playing with here.
I think it makes sense.
So when you say someone that's skinnier than you but is still objectively fat, that's a no-go zone.
I think it's more problematic than if it's somebody that's fatter than I am.
But I still think you got carte blanche to call out a fatty. I can't do that. And I can't even say fatty that way or else people get agitated with me.
I mean, now you're fat-splaining.
I'd have to be fat to be a fat-splainer.
Right?
No, you don't.
If mansplaining is I have to be a man and explaining things, wouldn't I have to be a fat to also fatsplain?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If you were previously fat.
I've heard dumber things.
I think right now might be the fattest I've ever been, so you tell me if you think that's fat.
It's not the fattest you've ever been.
This is the fattest I've ever been. I'm 230 pounds, 230. I've never weighed more than 230.
You don't look 230. Isn't that a nice way to say that?
What do I look?
There have been times you've looked 230. You didn't look 230.
Now. Well, maybe like 2 months ago. We're in the same breath.
You look maybe 215.
We're still, okay, thank you.
I'll say the nice thing.
That is a nice thing to say.
Yeah.
I can't fat shame. I've lost the ability to fat shame. If anything, I was going in the right direction to fat shame. I've lost that ability now.
These walks
that I've been doing there.
This has always stopped skinny people from fat shaming.
No, Daryl does it, and it doesn't make it right.
Oh, no, those are just funny jokes.
From Daryl?
Sometimes.
Sometimes 20% of the time?
Fruit.
Maybe 20% of the time? You know this about me, though. I typically don't fat shame at all. So, like, Well, I'm a man explaining things sometimes, so I guess that falls under the category in your eyes. What? Meredith, by the way, came in between the break, was like, Nick doesn't understand how wrong he's getting mansplaining. Yeah. And I was like, I know.
So is she womansplaining?
Yeah. I loved it. I was like, tell him that when he comes in the door. Tell him.
Didn't have the courage to look me in the eyes and say it, huh?
I think she would have. I think we just ran out of time. I think she was going to, but we ran out of time.
So we also talked with Al Pawlowski about Gavin Williams' bad start last night and whether or not this could be linked to throwing too many damn pitches against Aaron, the no-hit attempt.
Whenever a pitcher comes off throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game or a near no-hitter, and I don't know why this is, but generally the next outing, they get hit. So I think it's just one of those things with baseball. I don't know if you get so close, and, you know, there's a lot of emotions that go into it. Throwing a no-hitter is something that some of the greatest pitchers ever never accomplished. You may never be that close again. So I think there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. And then when you don't get it and you get that close, it might just take something mentally to come back to, all right, got to start at square one here again, and maybe that's part of it. I don't think that, you know, it was a pitch count thing.
Now, this leads me to lead the floor, basically, for you to do I Was Right Radio.
Well, I want to know, do I have, and we're going to play a clip here from Gavin Williams. I want to know if I have the ability to do I Was Right Radio. After the no-hitter was blown, he should have been taken out of that game. He wasn't taken out of that game. I made a big stink about it because I care about pitch counts in a way that is not even arguably, it's unhealthy, the way that I care about pitch counts. Like, it's not a guessing game at this point. The 100 pitch count number is not, that's not just like they came up with a nice, even, clean number. We know when things start to go wonky and when things are damaging to the arm. And here's where I'll give the Guardians some credit, okay, in this whole discussion. Even though Stephen Vogt had to have removed him the moment that the no-hitter was done, and the fact that he didn't have anybody up because he was worried about superstition is fugazi, and it's an awful excuse by Stephen Vogt if he tried to use it. Gavin got 7 days of rest. They had the off day after the day that he blew it, and then they had this off day most recently as well. He had even more time to try to recover from this. But when you go 126, you just went about 26 too many, and Gavin said so himself afterwards.
I was all right. I've definitely felt a lot better in the past, but really no excuse. I decided to pitch, and that's all that matters. I mean, I threw 126 pitches last outing. I mean, the whole body was a little fatigued, but it's still no excuse. I went out there and pitched no matter what. I should have done better than what I did.
All right.
The fact that he's admitting it, that he's a little fatigued and that the 126 was a stress, you compromised one game to try to go ahead and what? I get when you want to go for a no-hitter, but the moment the no-hitter's done, he had to be out of that game.
All right, these two things cannot be true at the same time. Either you get to be right on this and going that many pitches in is borderline reckless by the Guardians. And again, it's not about the 100, it's about not having a bullpen arm up the second that the no-hitter was over.
Right, and letting him pitch after the no-hitter was
just
already
just want to make sure Mitch wasn't going to pull that so then they could have a different conversation about what we said tomorrow
Thank you for
morning.
That. He still probably will anyway, but thank you for that.
Okay, so that it's either that or Gavin was making an excuse. And I don't think he was making an excuse.
I don't think Gavin was making an excuse. It seemed like he was trying everything in his power to not bring up the idea that he was fatigued. And then he's like, yeah, okay, all right, I was fatigued.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't like... I don't think, like, if a player says that, because I think sometimes in baseball we massively overreact when a guy admits anything that isn't the most pro team ever. It's very logical that the deepest you've pitched into a game for a very long time, this late into the season,
and the most
made
pitches,
you fatigued.
And the most pitches anyone's thrown in baseball this year.
Yeah. Now, if this thing becomes, because he had a short outing last night, if this thing becomes something we're talking about two or three starts from now, that's when I think, not do you just get to do I was right, but you get to do I am raging radio.
Oh, that's my favorite type of radio.
Not in this case. We don't want that.
No, I don't want to be right in this instance. Yeah, I'll take being. Well, this is it right here anyway.
Gavin has ace potential.
This alone substantiates the anger that I had the day after or the day of that he didn't get the job done. Everything else moving forward just gets me more and more enraged and more angry. But this alone, him telling you how fatigued he was when they gave you the extra days off and everything, is part of the reason why we lost it and part of the reason why Stephen voted.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, you had to be better in that moment.
Gavin Williams admits he was a little fatigued going all the way back to his previous start where he went 120-plus pitches in the no-hit attempt. Are you buying into JP's ability to do I Was Right radio, and it's one of the best pleas you'll ever hear, even if it's misguided, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I didn't realize it was much of a shock. I've heard multiple people like, is your sister really a homesteader? And then I've multiple folks I've had to explain what a homesteader is.
Oh, I don't even think I know what a homesteader is.
I mean, it's pretty much a farmer.
The assumption I had was that, but I didn't directly know.
But I honestly think the distinction.
I did grow up in Chicago, though.
I think the distinction between the two is: are you a farmer that also has a TikTok channel like my sister does?
So wait, so what is the distinction to become a homesteader instead of just straight up farmer? Is it just mean she lives on a farm but doesn't actually farm?
No. They farm. I don't know. She lives on a farm and they farm.
What does she farm that's different than farmers?
Well, so I think there is a distinction because like farming includes,
Unless it's just a straight up synonym, but like, is there an actual, there's got to be something.
I mean, my sister does grow vegetables. My sister does. Yeah. She's got pigs right now.
Homesteaders are self-sufficient lifestyle.
Yeah. Because farmers aren't self-sufficient. So, again, this is a snobby way. It's like a hipster farmer.
No, but like the idea, like so, like farmers, for instance, will still go to like the market and such, and they'll still get other things. Homesteader is supposed to basically just produce all their own food.
Yeah, tell that to farmers. All right, farmers, I'm going to say right now, the internet is negligent about you, we know that homesteaders are just hipster versions of you. Yeah, say that.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
You understand? I live near a lot of farmers. I am not having that happen to my.
It sounds like the Michael Cera, Amy Schumer Netflix show. It's like Michael Cera in this role.
So I've never watched that one.
Oh, you'd like it. It was an assumption I made that you'd watch it.
I am so out on Amy Schumer.
We've all been out on Amy Schumer since about Trainwreck. We've all kind of been out on Amy Schumer.
There's still some funny stuff.
But there's
in that
enough
one, but
Michael. There's
it.
Enough Michael Cera in there to balance it out, and I think she does a good job in it.
So the girls are out on the homestead there. And I got two pieces of information. One, that my beautiful daughter, and it had to be my doppelganger, our oldest kiddo, Liv, is the perfect middle point between Vanessa and I.
Oh, that's the hybrid.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Although I don't think we're allowed to call. I think that could be problematic languaging if she heard that. I don't think she would like that. I personally would love to be called a hybrid. That sounds awesome.
Which one does she tend to favor for? Because there always was that thing growing up where they're like, oh, you look just like your mom. And you're like, I wish you said dad.
Oh, see, the funny thing is half the people say you look just like your mom and half the people say, but her personality is becoming more like mine, which is, I feel bad for her. That's a tough beat.
Mm.
Being thinking like me is not, it's not always fun, but the twins are split. Sophie is very much like Vanessa. And Isabella is very much like me.
Hmm.
And so it, of course, was my doppelganger that I got two reports on today. One, I got a picture of her pantomiming riding a pig, which is a ridiculous picture. But is that something young Nick Wilson tried to do once? Yeah, I got kicked, by the way. Not intentionally. The pig was just trying to run away, and I got kicked by it. It hurt.
Served right, trying to ride that
pig. Not as bad as the time
pig.
I got kicked by a horse, because that hurts worse than almost anything I've ever experienced.
You ever tried to ride your dog as a kid? I remember doing that when I was like 4 or 5.
Mongo will occasionally walk between my legs, and I'll do the giddy up thing, and he's like, what the hell is your problem, dude?
It's like, hey, man, you're big. So, let's not do that.
So we got this picture. You got everybody seen it. It is cute, and it's ridiculous. And then There was a between her sister and the cousins, there was a dare of you're not gonna touch that electric fence. And because it's my kid, all the other kids apparently were chickening out.
Well, yeah, it's an electric fence.
Yeah. And my kid's like, oh, you don't have the guts to touch this? I guess I gotta touch this.
Does the story end with you leaving and going to see your kid in the hospital?
No, they're not that strong. They hurt like hell. And if you grab onto them, you are going to the hospital, but you just touch it?
I don't know. I've never grabbed an electric fence.
By the way,
seems like it'd be pretty problematic.
It's not great. But if you're wondering, why does Nick have extensive knowledge on touching an electric fence? It's because, yes, I also... And much younger days. Now it might shock my heart into rhythm.
Yeah, when we recap this segment later, the synopsis is going to be you try to minimize the extent of an electric fence.
I think you tried to maximize it.
Maybe.
I think now Maybe. You need to go to Elyria, and I think you need to go grab the fence while it's on.
Do we need to have an electric fence off?
I mean, it doesn't feel great. Oh, I think I could hold it for longer than you.
Who would stand the longest out of the entire crew that we have working for us today?
Me out of spite. Like, if one of you...
couldn't stand one of us holding it longer?
Yeah, it would just be so...
It would be your position to win this.
Yeah. Right, exactly, because I'm the hillbilly. So I would feel challenged as the alpha redneck on the show.
I could see Jake just being like, you guys are dumb, and just walking away.
That's exactly...
You guys are just dumb.
I think Jake's doing that with a conversation right now.
Might be.
So, That's fair. He's also a city kid. I mean, come on, Jake. You've never been to no farm.
That's fair.
Max the wild card. Max the wild card because he has
Max
the
could either really go for it or really not.
Well, so I think it would be Max still finding his place. This is a tough show to find a place on because while as open as I think
I'll tell
we try
you right
to
now,
be,
I'm not impressed by it. If you're trying to impress me, I'm not impressed by it.
I'll tell you right now, I am impressed.
And
by
that's
it.
That's the divide here. Who you'd find out who you really want to impress between me and Nick because. If you're doing it for me, I'm just going to think, I'll think worse of you.
I'm actually going to call shenanigans on this one. This harkens back to a little ditty someone told me in the pre-show that he didn't think he had a full segment on the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce podcast.
Well, we just knew I was lying
and
there.
And then you did the 10-minute version of All Too Well version of Quick Hits with one topic for 7 minutes. on the damn thing, and we're going to talk about it again at 6:20.
You knew I could probably do 4 hours if we needed to on
so
that.
So this is one of those
we
things
had to
where
play it.
Until you see Mac really get it to him, until you see it, you're like, oh, this is dumb. This is not impressive. And then you're going to watch him ride the lightning.
I want to see the
and
glasses.
All of a sudden,
glasses fall off your face.
I don't know. It's really not like... It's unpleasant.
So what is this? Do you remember the game growing up? It was always at like Dave and Buster's and all the different arcade places where it was like the jolt of electricity and you'd put your hands on it and then like the whole goal of the game was to see how much voltage you could take. Is it like that?
I mean, in a much more sophisticated manner.
We could just go play that game. We just go to Dave and Buster's right now and play that game.
It's not the same.
I'm sure it still exists. And if it doesn't, Maybe that's just life getting in the way, and 20 years later, they just don't have that game anymore.
I really only will grab electrical things
because I remember watching
electric fence.
When I remember being a kid watching grown adults do that and being like, "These idiots!"
Yeah,
like, these guys,
we could be those adults.
Who are these people? I mean, they got hammered and they're just hanging on, trying to just test the voltage.
Oh, see, I think you're a real man if you do it sober. You need alcohol to dull the senses. I mean,
how else are you going to remember?
I had a cigarette put out of my arm in college when I was drunk because I just didn't feel a damn thing. Oh. That's not impressive. It smelled for a couple days. It was not great.
Do you got a burn mark still? Those usually leave marks.
Yes. It's somewhere. The problem is I have so many freckles. You can't
It just looks like a freckle. Yeah.
But I have darker skin, but yes, if you give me a second, I can find it. It was not great. I mean, it was funny. It was okay, unintentionally. The point is, I was fine. Okay?
Wait, so is your kid fine though? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she win some cool points with her relatives?
She laughed and got to call everybody else wusses. Isn't that the highlight of like an 11-year-old's life?
What you're telling me is that that homesteader doesn't have strong enough electrical fences.
I think she should turn up.
That's what you're telling me.
She should turn up the voltage on my children.
If your daughter's doing it and laughing at it, she's got to kick that thing up.
Hey, do it again, kid. Do it again. All right, we're going to the hospital, but y'all learned your lesson.
That's right. Until your kid passes out after doing it, it's not strong enough.
The delegate from North Solon would like to call the quarterback kerfuffle in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.